go back to Psalm 138, verse number 2. I'll read verses 1 and 2 just to give us a little context, and we'll review for a little while. I won't keep you long tonight. I'm very weary in my body, and so we won't keep you too long. Verse number 1, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Our dear Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight. And Lord, I just thank you for seeking me out one day and saving my unworthy soul. I thank you for that. And Father, I ask you now to help me as I try to preach. I really can't do anything without you. And I really don't want to, Lord. I just want you to use me for your glory some way. Be glorified. And then I ask you to help your people tonight. I ask, Father, if you would, if you'd just open their hearts. And God, establish us in the truths of your blessed word. And Father, have your blessed way now in all that's said and done. Lord, we ask you to be glorified and honored and uplifted and magnified. And Lord, if there's anything that would hinder tonight, I ask you, Father, if you would, to refrain it for just a few minutes. And Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that needs doing. And we'll just thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, the Bible says in Psalms 138 and verse number 2, in the latter part of that verse, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And we said this, the Lord must have put a great emphasis upon his word if he magnified it above all his name. And so we started talking about the word of God and what it does in the lives of God's people. And we said this, it produces fruitfulness and keeps you from withering away. And it brings prosperity to your life according to Psalms 1. And we went through a whole list. It comforts in affliction. It gives wisdom and understanding, keeps from the evil way. It's food, it's sweet to the taste, it rejoices the heart, gives hope, produces hatred for every false way, gives understanding to the simple, orders your steps, puts praise in your mouth, protects in time of temptation, becomes a weapon in the spiritual battle. And my, we could just go on and on, but we focused in on a few of those this morning. We said, number one, it allows for you to cleanse your way. To cleanse your way. If you're in the wrong way, this Word of God can help you get in the right way. And my, that don't sound like much, me just standing here preaching to a Sunday night crowd. And we can't even imagine, we just can't even get it in our head what it is not to have a Bible. But you just think if you didn't have a word from God and you was trying to please him, why, you'd be like a blind man stumbling around not knowing up from down. But aren't you glad, Brother Allen, we've got a Bible. We've got a Bible that God's preserved for us to help us cleanse our ways. What a good God to give us a written word to have and follow. And so it cleanses our ways. And then we said, and I believe it was in verse 12 of Psalms 119. I'm not over there to look, but it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. So once you got your ways cleansed, then you've seen the Bible helped us to keep it clean. Keep our way clean. And my, I'm thankful for that. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, the Bible was able to make us wise unto salvation. Brother Mike's waving the wand back there, so I must take time out here a minute. All right, we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, it's able to make us wise unto salvation. In verse 16 of that same chapter, it's profitable for doctrine. Teaches us how to think. And my, I don't know about you, but I want to think right. This whole world's trying to twist my thinking and cause me to think in ways against God. But I'm glad I've got a Bible that teaches me the truth and teaches me how to think. And then it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. That's correct. That's reproof is telling you you're wrong. And once it tells you you're wrong, it corrects you. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and for instruction. And we talked about all that this morning. And then we mentioned a couple of passages where the Word of God stood in the way of temptation and either protected or they had to walk past the Word of God to sin. Eve had the Word of God, even though it was manipulated, it was added to, taken away from, maybe phrases changed, however you want to say it. She really, somebody dropped the ball. I don't know if it was Adam. Don't know if it was Eve, but somewhere somebody missed something. And she did not have the exact message. Would it have made a difference? I don't know. But the devil wanted to be, you can be sure of this, the devil wanted to weaken what she did have and tear down at what knowledge and what truth she did have before she acted or decided on the temptation that was placed in front of her. And we talked all about that. And then I said this, the devil has his doctrines. You just be sure that the devil has doctrines out there. 1 Timothy 4 and 1 speaks about the doctrines of devils. And so you can be sure there's false doctrine out there. And can I tell you, with that false doctrine comes seducing spirits. And let me just stop and say these seducing spirits are after your children and your grandchildren. And here's what you're doing. You're taking me lightly. I know some of you young folk may be taking me lightly. The preacher's just overexcited, putting too much emphasis on this little thing. But you be sure of this. In the last days, seducers and deceivers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're in a deceived age today. If you think the devil's not after your children, you're foolish tonight. He's after your children, young folk, or young married folk. You better wake up and listen to me. You better take this thing seriously. It's a burden in my heart right now. Young married folks, you better take this thing serious. It's life and death for your children, your grandchildren, and you won't reap what you sow until 10 or 12 years down the road. And then it's too late. And so I'm just saying to you, and I'm not trying to preach on the home. It's a burden on my heart. It's heavy on me right now. It's heavy on me, but I'm going to try to talk to you on the Word of God tonight if I can. The devil has his doctrines. You be sure about that. He has his doctrines. The devil has his spirits, the seducing spirits. And then we said this, the devil, he imitates everything that the Lord has. We talked about that, where there is the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil has Antichrist. Where there is the Holy Spirit, the devil has seducing spirits and lying spirits. Where there's a true gospel, Paul speaks about another gospel, which is really not another gospel. It's a different message. When you have true men of God, you've got heretics and deceivers and false teachers. Where there's a true church, there's a false church. And I'm just going to say this, and you can just say I'm some kind of a fool or whatever you want to say. But I say where there's a real Bible, there's a false Bible. I say that. I believe that today. I don't back up when I say that. And it frightens me because I think a lot of good people's been sucked in. Just unknowingly and unaware, they've been pulled in by the influence of those promoting the wrong so-called, I don't know if we can call them Bibles or not, but so-called Bibles, maybe we ought to say. And so the devil uses counterfeits, and a counterfeit's no good unless it's close to the real thing, unless it's similar. Let me say it that way. Unless it's similar to the real thing. You're not going to be gullible or be a victim of counterfeit money unless it's pretty close. Unless it's close. And the devil operates like that. If he can just get you close, he'll get you far away later. He'll just keep chipping away. And so I'm just saying to you, there's a good chance the devil has his book out there, and the Lord has his, we know. And so we said, this is really a controversy. What is the controversy? I mean, really, here's what it is. We say the King James Bible is the Word of God. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Amen. We say it's perfect. We say it's inerrant. It's infallible. It's complete. It's plenary, if you want to use that word. It's complete. And so here's what we're saying. There's folks that don't believe that. They just don't believe that. They don't believe our Bible is perfect. But can I say, if you can say any part of it's wrong, you have to question all of it. The Bible's all we got that tells us the truth about the Lord. What would you know spiritually if it wasn't for the Bible? I mean, what are you going to reference to check the Bible? What are you going to read? You're going to read some intellectual critic who attacks the Bible? Is that going to be your basis for saying that the King James Bible's not correct? I don't understand, when this Bible's all we've had to teach us about God, how somebody can say it's wrong when there's not any other thing from God that we have. Well, is there really a controversy? Yeah, there surely is. Some folks say the King James Bible's the best of the lot, but it has errors. We don't believe that. Some say that the other perversions or versions, whatever you want to call it. Some say that they're just as good as the King James, and it's just a matter of your preference. It's just up to you. Whatever you want to choose, that's your choice. It doesn't make a difference. We don't believe that. That's not where we stand. We believe the King James, the authorized version, the 1611. The authorized 1611 version, we believe that is the Word of God. It's where we stand at. And then we said this, there's those that declare that only the originals are correct and everything that's been translated is in error. We don't believe that. We believe this Bible's perfect. Not in error, but contains some error. Let me say it that way. And so there's a lot of thoughts out there. And then the question comes up, and I know I'm just saying again what I said this morning, but just stay with me for a few minutes. Then the question comes up, is this a big enough issue to really split hairs over? You see, here's what happens in the Christian life. As you get older, you realize there's some issues that you wouldn't divide on. But there's some issues you have to say, hey, I'm not yoking up with anything contrary to that. That's a big enough issue. I will not yoke up. I will not be part of. I will take a stand on this. And if it divides, if it separates, if the stars in heaven fall, here's where I stand on that issue. Is this one of those issues, or is it something we all just kind of sweep under the rug and say, that's what I believe, and you believe what you believe, and we'll all be buddies, and we'll go along? I want to say to you, I think it is an important enough issue that we need to know and take a stand on. I think it's an issue of separation. I could not pastor a church that used a perversion. Let me just say one of the modern versions of the Bible. I couldn't pastor a church that used that. Even if they let me preach out of the King James Bible, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't go that route. And I might try to teach them different, see if I could help them, but if I couldn't, I just have to move along. That's how strong I feel about that. And so I think it is an issue, and I think if the Lord exalted His Word above all His name, it's a big deal to Him. It's a big issue with the Lord today. Well, we talked about why it is. Number one, I want God's Word, not the devil's Word. Now, I'm not saying there's not good in those Bibles. Please don't think I'm... And I know some of you have family that use those Bibles and friends, and I'm not out to attack or be mean to them or tear them down. But I think it's important for this church to get established on what we believe. And if you come to this church, what's going to be preached in this pulpit is what we believe and not what somebody else believes. That's why we have Baptists on the side. Because when a Presbyterian comes in here, he's not going to hear Presbyterian doctrine. He's going to hear Baptist doctrine. When a Church of God comes in here, he's not going to hear Church of God doctrine. He's going to hear Baptist doctrine. You see, we preach what we believe in this pulpit, and they preach what they believe wherever they preach at. That's just how it works. And so there's just some issues you have to be firm on. And I don't mean to be hateful or mean or to look down. I don't look down my nose. I feel sorry for folks that really have not got established in this Bible issue. And then we said, why is it important? I don't want the devil's book, first of all. It's important, too, because we need a basis for absolute truth. You need a base. You need somewhere you can go when it comes to spiritual truth, and you can look and you can say, right here's where I get my truth at. You need something like that. If it's not the King James Bible, you need something. I say the King James Bible is the Word of God. Nothing needs to be added to it. Nothing needs to be taken away from it. And that's our final authority for absolute truth. And if you want to argue with me and start using another book to defend your position, I'm out. You can just count me out, Brother Miller. If it's not the Bible we're talking about, count me out on it. I mean, I'm not going to debate the Book of Mormon. I don't have time for that. I don't have time to debate the Watchtower or debate the Pope or anybody else. I'm simply saying, and I'm not going to debate anyway if you want to get down to it, but if you want to discuss truth, then we're going to have, if you and I are going to sit down and discuss truth, we're going to have to go to the Bible. And really, it doesn't matter what I think and what you think, but it does matter what the Bible says. And I guess it does matter how we interpret the Bible. And so it's important because we need a basis for absolute truth. And that stirs me up because we live in a day, whatever you want to think is okay. Well, it's not okay. God teaches us how to think in this Word, and that's how we ought to think. Well, not only that, it's important that we get the right book, because even if the book we take is just partially wrong and the devil's just got a partial foothold in the book, it won't be long till he increases his foothold. He works progressively. We talked about it this morning. I'm not going to go back there. It's important because I think God expects you and I to stand against evil. To stand against wickedness. I believe that. When you're just passive and you lay down and play dead and you act like you don't know nothing and you know somebody's in wickedness and they're deceived and they're caught up in error, there's not much to you if you won't say, hey, I believe because I love you and I care about you, I believe something. I believe you need to know what I know about this Bible. I believe you ought to do that in the spirit of love. And then number five, this issue is important because of eternal consequences. We're not dealing with buying a new car or trading dogs or buying a horse or whatever you spend your money on. What we're dealing with is eternal issues. I'm telling you, life and death is in the balances. Souls, where they're going to spend eternity is in the balances with this Bible issue. And then it's important because it's our weapon. We've said that it's our weapon. If you have a dull weapon, if you have a gun, won't shoot straight, or a knife, it's dull, you're not going to do much good. in the fight. And if you use the wrong weapon in a fight, then you're in trouble. And then this issue is important because it will help remove confusion from the churches. And we can talk about that, but if the preacher reads out of one version and Sunday school teacher teaches out of another, and maybe somebody gets up and testifies and reads a verse out of another version, you know all that does? That promotes confusion. Say what you want, that promotes confusion. I've seen it in the prison services. Brother Miller, you said you was in the prison. I know you've seen that in the prison where they're using different... They don't even know where you're reading at sometimes. They'll be asking you, where's the text at? When they're right there at it, that's how different it can be sometimes. And so it brings confusion. By the way, God's not the author of confusion. He's not the author of confusion. This issue is important because the words are important. And you're going to find this out. What the Bible issue really is an issue about words. And if you want to say to me, you can find some of those same concepts in those Bibles that's in your Bibles, I'd probably say you're right. I'd probably say you're probably right. But can I tell you, this thing is about words, and we're going to talk about that tonight for a little bit. This issue is important because of our loved ones who are following in our paths. This issue is important to me because of Ben and Brady, and because of Malia and Laney and Molly and Blake and all my grandchildren. It's important to me because of them tonight. I want them to know what is and which is the true Word of God. I want them to have it tonight. And if they don't get that, I surely have failed them in a big way. And you failed your grandchildren if they don't get a hold of it. This issue number 10 is important because if left unanswered, it casts doubt on the Word of God. If we don't settle on it, what is the Word of God? Well, maybe this King James Bible isn't the Word of God. Maybe that NIV is the Word of God. Maybe it's right. Maybe it is male shrine prostitutes instead of sodomites. Somewhere you've got to make peace on the Word of God. And so then the question comes up, and here's where we left off this morning, I think, if I'm not mistaken. The question comes up, does there exist a perfect Word of God today? Sure there is. How do we know that? Here's what somebody says. Prove it to me. Well, I'm just gonna give you just a few things. If I could, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I want you to turn with me for just a few minutes, and let's just look at some of these scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I want to begin reading. I think I'll begin reading in verse 14. We've already quoted this once today or spoke about it. But continue thou. This is Paul talking. Let's back up to 13. This is Paul talking to young Timothy. He said, "But evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So here's what we know: as time goes on, deception's going to get worse and worse. Deceivers are going to get worse and worse. That seducing spirit is going to get worse and worse. There's going to be a spirit that comes to your children and your grandchildren, maybe even to your life if you're not settled and grounded, that's going to seduce and pull them away from the truth if they're not careful. But evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now here's what I want you to get. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. by inspiration of God. It didn't say some of the scriptures or a few of the scriptures, but all scriptures. It's the original autographs. Now here's what's going to be a challenge to some of you if you hadn't been through this story. It's just the terminology. I never forget when I was in school, I took a computer class, and they'd be throwing out, Jeremy, you can probably relate to this. In fact, you do this to me sometimes. You start throwing out these words on when I'm asking you about my computer, and I don't even know what they are. I don't know the meaning of those words. And you don't mean that you're just so comfortable with those words that it's just automatic, and you just think everybody knows. But I'm living 50 years back where you're living in today's time. And so I don't understand those words. And so is it with the Bible. And you'll hear this sometimes, the original autographs. You ever heard that phrase? The original autographs. You know what that is? That's the originals. That's when it was penned down years ago. That's when God spoke and inspired. That word inspired means God breathed. That's what it means. If you study that out, it means God breathed. These scriptures are breathed by God, if we could say it that way. And it says this, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. All scripture. So the original autographs, they were God breathed. Now, let's just stop a minute. Let me say this. If God was perfect and He breathed out some words for men to pin down, do you think those words could have error in them? No, sir. That's right. You couldn't have error. God's perfect. If God breathes anything out, you can be assured that it's perfect. It's without error. You can be sure of this. You don't need to add anything to what He says. You don't need to take anything away, and you don't need to change it. If God breathes it out, and our Bible tells us that the originals were God breathed. Now in 2 Peter, I want you to turn there with me, chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read just a couple of verses and then we're going to go on. In verse number 20, the Bible says this, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy, now here's what I want you to get, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It wasn't man that brought these truths to us, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so God spoke to His men in those old days, just as He spoke in this previous verse, this inspiration, and gave the Scriptures. And I know we're talking about the Old Testament Scriptures here. I understand that, and I'm aware of that, but I'm saying to you that this New Testament operates on the same principle. It's inspired. It did say all Scripture. You do believe the New Testament is Scripture. Is that right? If it's so, then all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and holy men of old were moved by God. The Bible says, let me read it again, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'm saying to you, when these things were originally given out, God was in charge. He was in command. And what they wrote down is what God gave them to write down. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. I'm trying to establish to you that the originals were God-breathed. They were perfect. They were inspired by God. And so we get that truth down. You say, well, we don't have the originals. What's the big deal? Well, we want to talk about this thing of preservation. Preserving of the Word of God. You see, the Bible says this, and I just want you to turn with me if you don't care. Psalms chapter 12, verse number 6. We're going to jump around just a little bit, but I believe it'll be profitable for you. And these are all very familiar to those of you who have studied this Bible issue and are familiar with it. But here's what it says in Psalms chapter 12, verse number 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. What does the word pure mean? Not contaminated, would that be a fair definition? Not defiled. Without error, yeah, amen. Without error, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now here's what I want you to get. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation till the next generation. No, that's not what it says, is it? Forever. It shall preserve them from this generation. How long? Forever. You believe God preserved the originals?
Yes, sir.
I say amen. That's what the Bible says He's done. He's going to preserve His Word. Isn't that what it says? I've got 20 or 30 scriptures here that we can just flip to and read. Well, I've got about 15, no joke. Let me just read a few of them. Concerning thy Psalm 119 and 152, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Thy word is true from the beginning, Psalms 119, 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But the word of the Lord, 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now here's what I'm saying. If God breathed the originals, and if He did breathe them, and He's a perfect God and cannot do anything wrong, they're perfect. And if God really did preserve His Word forever, and they were perfect when they started, they were inspired when they started, and He preserved them, then somewhere on this planet today, we have the true Word of God. Amen and amen. If indeed what God said and the Word of God's true, and it is, those originals were inspired and He's preserved them forever, then today on planet Earth, somewhere exists the Word of God. That's it. Brother Tom's raising his Bible, and I say amen too. It's exactly what I think. I just want you to see right now that there's a Word of God somewhere because of the doctrine of inspiration and the doctrine of preservation. Now here's the thing, and I may be oversimplifying matters. I don't know. I've wrestled this around. They say today our Bible's not inspired. Well, and there's some big independent leaders that say that. And I think I halfway understand what they're saying, but I believe they're wrong. Now think about it. If you've got inspiration, you start with inspiration, and you preserve it perfectly, how can you not end up with something that's inspired? See, I believe the words are inspired. The words are preserved, but because they're inspired words, when we get over here with this preservation, we have inspired words again. Now, I don't know. I know what you can run into folks that'll shoot at that all day long, but I'm as convinced of that as I am standing here. Otherwise, we wouldn't have true preservation. Well, amen, or oh me, or something, but that's so. And so here's what I'm saying. On planet Earth, there is the Word of God because of preservation. And then the question, now the question is, how do we find it? I'm just acting like y'all don't know anything about this issue. How is it you find it? How do you go about it? And I'm just going to tell you this, the Lord has to help us. The Lord has to help you get confidence that your Bible is the Word of God. Amen. Now, I can show you things in that Bible I can't explain. I can't explain it. By faith, I believe it. I believe it. And somewhere you're going to have to decide what is the Word of God. Or you're going to be so confused in this religious world we live in, you're not going to go up from down. And most of you have, but how do we find it? Well, the Bible said the Spirit, when He comes, He will guide us into what? All truth. The Spirit of the Lord has to help us. And then before I go on, I want to ask you this. Do you think it's really too hard of a problem for the Lord to preserve His Word for 2,000 years? Is that too hard for God? I mean, I get out of a day and look up in the sky, and there is the sun hanging on nothing. I mean, it's hung that way for years. In fact, it just travels across, and it don't fall out of the sky. I mean, the stars of a night, there they are. They don't fall. And we start talking about the things of God. And here's what I say. If He can't preserve His Word, why would you trust Him with your soul? Isn't that right? I have to believe if He said He's going to preserve it forever, He can do that. In fact, I don't have to believe. I do believe it. I'm convinced of it. I know He's preserved His Word because He said He would. And the Bible teaches me that. And so it's really not too hard to believe that He can preserve His Word perfectly for 2,000 years. That's not a hard thing. For me to see. But then I want to bring you this is for the sake of the church, really, more than anything. Here's what I say. What happens when folks come in and they bring other versions? And they say, well, that's good. You all just use King James. I'm going to use this version. Now, I'm not talking about a visitor. I'm not talking about, and Tyler, I don't even know what kind of Bible you've got with you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter right now. It doesn't matter. Fine. But I'm just saying, a fellow comes in, hey, I love this Ridgeview Church. I love the way you worship. I want to join up with you, but I just got one little issue. I want to use my other version. I want to use the other version. Well, what do we do? I think you're right, Brother Bud. But what do we say? Are we just being mean to say sorry? Sorry? Is that just being mean and cold? I mean, first of all, I think we need to try to help and teach and counsel and educate on the issue. I understand that. And I believe that. But what do you do? Here's what Amos said. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together? Let's say me and you going down the road and we've got two different books and your book says one thing, mine says another. We both believe we're right and we're walking together. Then all of a sudden we're at odds. We've got an issue and your book says one thing, mine says another. If we're going to stay in agreement and we're going to be buddies and we're going to have that close fellowship we had, what has to happen? Can I tell you what has to happen? Somebody has to compromise. Somebody has to say, okay, I'll just let it go and you're right and I'm not going to make a deal out of it. And there's times, and I know that word compromise, we use it in negative sense over and over, but sometimes it's right to compromise on some things. I'm not talking about biblical issues. There's times you don't always get your way. I don't, you don't, nobody does. It's in a home, it's in a family, it's in the church. Sometimes you just have to accept how things are. But when it comes to Bible truth, and it comes to the Bible issue and the truth of that Word of God, can I tell you, if we're not in agreement, we're not going to walk very far till there's a problem. That's right, Brother Miller. What'll happen, there'll be controversy. There'll be at odds. There'll be some trouble there. And here's what I'm saying. I'm not against people that don't know better. Please understand. You all know me better than that. Surely you know I'm not just out to thump people and just thumb them down. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in helping people. But after you've taught and you've done all you can do to help somebody and they want to stay with the perversion of the Bible, can I tell you, church, there's got to be a separation. That's just it. Two can't walk together except they be agreed. I want you to look at Romans 16 and 17. I know we're getting a little bit off the Bible issue, but we are, but we're not. Romans chapter 16 is a verse that's plagued me in this county for much of my preaching ministry. It says this in verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and yoke up with. This is the Bible. I'm telling you what God says. Here's what the Bible says, and avoid them. People who are teaching, I'm not talking about somebody that's teachable and will heed the truth, and they just don't know any better like Apollos was. You remember Apollos, and who was it? Priscilla and Aquila took him aside and expounded the word more excellent to him. I believe it's the way the Scripture says. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about somebody that's in error. They will not have the truth. They will not receive it. And there's good people, what we call good people like that. They know what they believe, and they're not going to change their mind, and really they're not even going to listen to you. Can I say to you, you have no choice, church, but to separate from that crowd. And I know we live in a day where the Baptists preach with the charismatics and everything else. But that don't line up with the Word of God. Now, let me read it to you again. Now, I'm giving you the Word of God. I'm not giving you my opinion. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. In this county, the Baptists and the those that believe you and lose your salvation, there's a whole group of them, they all yoke up together. They hold revivals together. That don't line up with the Word of God the way I read it anyways. What's wrong with us? Can we not read the Word of God? Is that too complicated? Can we not figure that out? Can I say that verse identifies the Bible issue, I think goes with the Bible issue as well? Folks that cannot get and do not believe the King James Bible issue, you have no choice, church, but to separate from them. It's just how it is. I don't know what you do with it. I guess you could just tear that page out. We could throw Romans 16 away. But right there it is. Here's what I'm saying. What about that crowd says, y'all go ahead and use your Bible and I'll just use mine. Romans 16, 17 teaches us better than that. My, we could read, I could just give you some more of these. I could give you some more of these little truths here, but I don't know that we need to go any farther. We can talk about that separation. We could talk about that separation all day long. And so here's what I'm trying to say. Here's what I'm trying to say to you, folks. We've got to take a stand on this Bible issue. We've got to take a stand on that. And what it does, it's like so many issues that's out there today. It causes you to draw a line in the sand. See, as long as we don't have to draw any lines, set any boundaries, everybody gets along. But when you say the King James Bible is the Word of God and the others are perversions, here's what happens. You've just drawn a line. And there's folks that's going to get on the other side of that line, and they're not going to be in your box with you. And you've got to be willing for that to happen. You have to accept that as just how it is, because that is how it is. And I don't know how to say it any easier to you. I don't know how to make that any easier. And here's what I found out. The more things you say, this is right and that's wrong, and folks who believe like that are wrong according to the Word of God, what it does, it isolates you. It isolates you. It throws you outside. But here's what I'm saying. Deceivers, seducers and deceivers are waxing worse and worse. And they want nothing better than to get into the church. And they want nothing better than to get in your head. And they want nothing better than to control your children. And with false doctrine, with false teaching, comes seducing spirits. Seducing means you're wooing. You're enticing those folks away. And that's where we're at today. And this Bible issue is no different. When I'm talking about this King James Bible, I'm telling you, it makes enemies. And when I'm talking about this King James Bible, there's folks that you would say, he's a good person, they will fight you over it. But so be it, the truth is the truth. And you might as well get ready and you might as well accept it. That's where we're at. We can't, if we're going to be right with God, we can't yoke up with that crowd. And secondly of all, we have to take a stand against it. We have to be willing to say, hey, here's what I believe. I believe those are not the Word of God. And when you do that, first of all, they mock you. You're a fool. That's the first tactic. And if that don't get you and you hang around long enough, then they become angry and they become attackful in your life. And so I'm just trying to get a few little truths across to you tonight. And we're going to come back and spend some time on some of these issues. And I'm not going to tonight, but I've used all my time tonight. But here's what I'm saying, folks. This is a dead serious issue. There are independent Baptists that grew up with a King James Bible and that's all they've known, and they are fleeing to the other side today, yoking up with the perversions of the Word of God, not grounded, not settled in the Bible issue. How sad. And really why that is? Because it wasn't a problem when I was a kid. When I was a boy, there wasn't no question what the Word of God was. The Word of God was the King James Bible. Nobody questioned that. That's just how it was. I mean, preacher didn't have to preach on it. Nobody struggled with it. But it's not like that today. We have to fight the battles of our generation. And you need to get grounded in this. And I know for some of you it's old hat. I understand that. But for some of you, you need to hear this and maybe hear it again and again. And so here's what I'm just saying to you, we can't yoke up. We can't go with that crowd. They don't believe like we believe. There has to be unity of doctrine. And I understand every one of us have a few things we see different. I'm not talking about that. This is a big enough issue. We have to have unity on it. And so I'm going to leave that with you tonight just to think about. And we're going to talk about the words. Here's where I was meaning to go tonight. Here's what they say. The words aren't important as long as the concept's there. Is that really so? Is that really the truth? Do the words not matter? Let's see what the Bible has to say about it. You're right, bud. They do matter. They do matter. And we're going to talk about that next time. Brother Allen, I'd like to have just a verse of a song tonight. And we're going to try to work our way through this. King James study rather quickly. I don't want to get bogged down with it. I feel like I already have to some degree. But I want you to get it. Please, search the Scripture. Search and see if I'm telling you right. Question it. Make peace with this thing before you go any farther if you've not already. Let's bow our heads tonight. Maybe somebody's here and they just need to pray. They're troubled. They're bothered. Something's going on in their life, and they just need to pray tonight. We want to give you a chance. Open these altars up. If the Lord spoke to your heart, would you be obedient tonight and obey Him? Sing to us, Brother Allen, when you get there.